More than 90% of federal managers say better technology helps them be more productive for their agencies, but that doesn't mean their lives are actually any easier. New research from the National Academy of Public Administration and ICF International shows one in three agency managers have to bring their work home with them now. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International and a NAPA Fellow and former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and here to talk about the results. Now, there's just more here than we could possibly cover in even a lot more time than we have, Jeff. You've got 13 findings and 14 recommendations, but what are the major takeaways in your view here as far as how the current state of the digital world affects how managers do their jobs?
Hi, Francis. I think we found a couple of things in the survey that were really interesting to me. Number one was that number you quoted, over 90% saying that digital technology has helped their agency serve their customers better. It was 93%. That was a really good thing to learn. I used to work in agencies as recently as a few years ago, where some of my bosses bragged that they didn't have a computer on their desk and that they didn't use a BlackBerry or an iPhone or any other kind of smartphone. And so they were kind of proud of the fact that they were Luddites. And those people, for the most part, have gone away. And people now are accepting that they are going to do business electronically. That is the way agencies are going. So that was good news. We also found that about 37% of people said that use of digital technology had actually improved their quality of work life and their work life balance. So they were able, for example, one person in his comments said that he was able to do things with his children now in the evenings that he couldn't do in the past because he was reachable or he could be standing on the sidelines of the kid's soccer game, talking to somebody about a work issue if he needed to. And so a lot of people said they could actually see improvements in their work-life balance. However, about a third of people said that it actually made their work-life balance worse, that the fact that they were reachable meant that their bosses and other people at work thought they were reachable all the time. People commented about getting emails at 1 o'clock in the morning from a boss who expected them to respond. So that was something we found interesting. The other thing was that only about a third of people, a little over a third, said their employees actually had the training they needed to use the technology that they bought. And so agencies aren't investing enough in training the workforce. So we thought that was really interesting. And one last finding that I thought was fascinating is we had a lot of people respond to the survey. The survey, by the way, was focused on the 25 largest agencies in government, the CFO Act agencies. But we had one finding where we had a lot of people who were actually involved in the procurement process, and we had one comment in the entire survey out of hundreds and hundreds of write-in comments saying that acquiring technology was difficult because of the federal acquisition regulations. For the most part, people thought that their agency's internal processes got in the way of buying technology, but the federal acquisition regulations actually were not the problem. So that means that agencies can do a lot to improve how they're buying technology without waiting around for Congress to change the law or expecting OMB and GSA to change the FAR. So I thought that was very good news.
We can tear that one apart. We could spend the whole rest of the time talking about that last issue. But there are two other points that you made in your remarks and in the blog post that you wrote at your chiefhro.com blog that we'll link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later today. The one that I wanted to ask you about first, 36% believe employees are adequately trained to use new technology. I was reminded of a story when I worked for a company. I won't identify the company, but the name rhymes with CBS in Los Angeles in 1989, and they bought a $100,000 piece of equipment for us to use. There were only two of them in the United States, and after they bought it, they found out that the only place you could get training was from the manufacturer somewhere in Europe, I think Austria, I'm not sure, and they weren't going to pay to send people over to Austria to learn how to use this thing. So this turned into the most expensive end table that I've ever seen in my entire career. And I, as I read this data, I thought about that story, and I thought how unfortunate, because this only affected about 10 or 15 people and the bottom line of a publicly traded company. I think about the impact of some similar situation on the purchase of major technology for a federal agency, and it winds up being a lot bigger footprint when there's no impact from that technology, similar to the story that I just told you, Jeff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that you really do have to invest in training to get the bang for your buck on technology. A lot of times when people are looking at doing training for a new system or a new tool that they're deploying, they either don't invest enough in the initial training, or they think that initial training is all that people need. You know, you give them a quick dip in training and then they're good to go. And the reality is a lot of times people go to training, they learn the basics, but then they get into something and start using it, and then they find that they really need some help as they're using it. So what we recommended was training that was hitting people in a variety of different ways: classroom training, on-the-job training, job aids that might be available within a system so that when somebody has a question, they can just call up something and take a quick look and get an answer. So there are a variety of types of training that people need. It's more than just classroom training when you deploy a new system. If you do that, then people will use it.
We only have about 1 minute left. Were you surprised that the helped versus harmed work-life balance numbers were pretty much a wash?
I was. I expected to see a little bit better numbers on helping work-life balance. The good news about that one, by the way, though, is agencies control that. Agencies can set guidelines. They can let employees know what's expected when they're off duty and not on the clock. And if they do that, they can start pushing that number much higher on the help the work-life balance rather than harm the work-life balance.